Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Watch up, walk-ons. We are back for another episode 108. Our guy James Butler joins the show. He wasn't with us for a long time in Iowa City, but he made an impact on our lives, and he's a great person. He was a great teammate. He has a crazy football and life story. And we hope you enjoy listening to him today. Let's sit back, relax, and have fun. Let's have fun. Let's go. Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 108 of the podcast, and we're back with another teammate, another dude who has a crazy football story of how he made it to the Hawks and then made it on through. A guy who unfortunately didn't get to be a teammate long enough with, wasn't with us until his last year, but man, genuinely great human being with one of the biggest, brightest smiles that an orthodontist could possibly make. JB, welcome you and your perfect ass teeth to the podcast, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro. I just invested in another teeth whitening kit because I got nothing but time. So I might as well try to get my teeth as white as possible.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of time, JB, It's good to see your face. It's good to see you balling out in the XFL.
Absolutely balling. The Houston hop. How about just creating the hop, bro? Man, I was going bananas.
Yeah, man, it was wild, bro. Those fans out there are different. And, like, they were in it. And, I honestly couldn't wait to score another touchdown just like a hop in the crowd. And I literally hated playing any away games because I was like, man, I can't wait to get back to Houston.
Speaking of touchdowns, you scored the most rushing touchdowns of any running back in the XFL through the 5 weeks, my boy.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Especially in an offense where the running back was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Because your quarterback was a monster, right?
Yeah. PJ's a dog. He's different. He was for sure different. Yeah. You could tell even like when things are going wrong and how he would just still hang his head, just step up and come back the next drive and do something crazy that a lot of guys, you know, don't really have that same killer mentality like he does.
Yeah. We're going to get back to the XFL because that's kind of the end or the most recent part of your story right now. And the story is still being written. I know for sure that's the way 100%. You're thinking about it. But we want to take it back. Kind of the way we do it on this show is we go all the way back. to the high school days, the recruiting days.
Yeah.
What it was like growing up, you playing football as a young guy and then realizing you were going to have the opportunity to play at the next level in college. And I, like Drake said, we didn't get too much time with you, man. I remember you coming in that summer and the first time I ever saw you, and I was like, God damn, this guy's biceps are
biggest biceps ever.
And and I, you know, you didn't know anybody, so you weren't goofing yet. You weren't, you know, real loose or anything. And so you kind of had a straight face on, and I was like, damn, we got a straight killer. Like we might have a guy that that does some illegal stuff in his downtime. Like,
I feel you. I'm not a talker. Especially if I don't know you.
And then it was JB from there on out. Like, you were like the brightest smile in the room, goofball, love to have fun. One of the braces,
blonde hair. I was going through it.
You were wild.
Absolutely.
I was definitely in my college days.
And you could play some fucking running back, my man.
I appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
So you came to Iowa for your grad transfer year, right?
Yeah.
From Nevada, who I believe I should have done more research, but Coach Lester Erb.
Lester Erb, yeah, my dog.
My man is one of the reasons, maybe the biggest reason, that I ended up at Iowa. Before he, we'll talk about that for a second before we get into it with you. He was obviously the running back coach and special teams coordinator for the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Circa 2011, 12.
Yeah.
He wasn't there for our first year. So 12 was his last year. Mm-hmm. And because he was the special teams coordinator, he was kind of the guy, along with Coach Morgan, who recruited me and kind of like the go-ahead okay for me to walk onto the program. So I was always thankful for Coach Erb. He hit me up one time during college and was like, hey, good to see your having success, and I really owe a lot to me being a Hawkeye to him. How did you find your way to Nevada? And maybe there's a longer backstory. You can take it back as far as you want, and tell us how you got there first.
Yeah. So honestly, I don't even know what Nevada was like when Coach Erb hit me. So it was crazy. So my, even in high school, was kind of a crazy journey. So I went to Bartlett. My first 2 years was the public school. And then one of my best friends, my homie, y'all know, Justin Flood, you know, he decided to transfer to St. Francis, like a local private school. And, you know, I always heard of how good private schools were, like, education-wise. And I knew, like, my public school was, like, an okay education, but I knew it wasn't really preparing me for college. So I knew Justin was going, and then his dad was like my mentor. Said, do I want to go? And I was like, yeah, for sure. So that's when I decided to transfer to St. Francis, my junior year sophomore going to junior year.
And this is in Illinois, right?
This is in Illinois, yeah. So sophomore to junior, get to St. Francis. We go through the whole whatever spiel, and then it gets to the last week or two, I find out I won't be eligible to play my junior year if I don't go back to Bartlett, or I can either stay at St. Francis and not play my junior year, then play my senior year, or go back to Bartlett, play my next 2 years, and then that'll be it. And I just come off playing on varsity as a sophomore in one of the biggest conferences in Illinois. So I was doing pretty well, but I don't know. I had a decision to make. I decided to go with St. Francis, which probably killed my college recruiting, you know. And obviously I don't really know, because, you know, in high school you don't really know how big your junior year is. And I'm thinking okay, I just won't play junior year, which sucks obviously, but I'll just come back senior year, kill it, and then hopefully somebody will come take me, or maybe my sophomore year tape was decent enough that people would, you know, hold off until my senior year. So I didn't play my junior year of high school, which literally murdered my college recruiting. And that's when I met Erb, and he was at Iowa at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to Iowa camps, doing my thing there. You know, Erb was at some of my games my senior year. I did my thing my senior year. And then, obviously, a lot. I only had 6 offers. I think my biggest offer was Temple. I had, Temple which I honestly think was like a fake offer. I don't even think if I would have committed, they would have took me. South Dakota, James Madison, Colgate, Eastern Illinois, and I don't even remember the other two or one or whatever. And then I had Nevada. And the only reason I got Nevada was because I had like lost contact with Herb, and I found out like he wasn't on Iowa staff anymore, and I didn't know why. We hadn't talked, and that's when like Coach White was there. He was a running back coach there. He started recruiting me. Mm-hmm. But I could tell he wasn't really feeling me like that, so I knew like Iowa was kind of off the table because I couldn't walk on anywhere. I couldn't afford that.
Right.
But so that's what Herb called me. He was like, "I'm in Nevada. Like, come check us out." And that's when I come check this out. I fell in love, and then that's how I got in Nevada. So, like, I kind of my ties were Iowa first with Herb, mm-hmm. and then Herb went to Nevada. So that's how I ended up at Nevada.
So it's
I had no idea, like, because yeah. Reno is so small on the map. Like, even when I would tell people back home, like, "Yeah, I'm going to Nevada," I'm like, "Oh, Vegas?" I'm like, "No, Reno." So that's how.
That's crazy, kind of the loop back around where it started with the Hawks and then it ended with the Hawks. So what was the time? I'm curious, because that can be really stressful as a high school player. I can't believe
you didn't play a year of high school, dude.
Yeah, I was.
If they would have given me that option, I would have went right my ass back.
I know. Everybody was saying that. But, like, that's – bro, if you think about it, bro, that's been my whole career. Like, it's been kind of – like been spontaneous decisions that I've always had to like bet on myself, and that was one of those that kind of sparked. Like, I got to give it to Mr. Flood, because he's the one person who I know in my life who's not afraid of anything, who's not afraid to take chances, not afraid to, you know, like fall on your face, but like at least you as a man, you made that decision and you can, you know what I'm saying, step up and face that.
Sure.
And, like, because if I didn't have Mr. Flood, like I would have peace, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm playing my junior year, I'm going back, but he didn't like talk me into it, but I can just feel like how confident he was. And I was like, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, this going to St. Francis these next 2 years will most likely help me when I get to college. And it's a bigger like school and education wise, I just knew it would be better for me. And I don't know. I was thinking more long-term and that I wasn't thinking short-term. I was thinking more long-term, like, going to this private school will most likely be the best benefit for me educationally. As an athlete, probably not. But I also wasn't thinking that it would murder my recruiting how it did. But I mean, I love Nevada though. It was a great.
Yeah, game. I mean, it worked out.
Exactly, I always feel like it always works out in the end for some reason. Always, you know, like
absolutely.
Good mojo always.
You got way more carries than damn near every other running back in the whole world. College, so like it ended 100%. Up working out in your favor.
I want to clarify for the listeners real quick. When JB's saying Mr. Flood, I'll kind of give the relevance of this. So come back around again once JB gets to Iowa, and we'll get through that story in a few minutes. But Justin, your buddy from high school, ends up being one of the managers for the Iowa football team. Jay Flood, like, dude was known. Like, he had, first of all, he had one of the raspiest voices that you could ever hear.
He'd been smoking cigarettes since he came out of the womb.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like
that since the day I met him.
Yeah, that's wild. So, yeah, and so, exactly. So you ended up having a friend in the program to kind of come back to, and it was his dad, right, that you're talking about.
Yeah, because Mr. Flood, I met Mr. Flood when it was just after I played my first year of football. And it's crazy. I feel like I've been making crazy football decisions my whole life. So it was the Bartlett Raiders or the Bartlett Hawks. And I was playing with the year older after my first year. I almost didn't play football because my mom thought I was too small. That's another crazy story in this home. Yeah. So I was playing with the Bartlett Hawks with the age group that was older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was going to be my second year. And then these guys, they were in eighth. They were going to be going to eighth grade. I was going to seventh grade. So they were going to the Bartlett Raiders their last year for the eighth grade year. They're going to go to high school. And they wanted me to go with them, or I could have stayed with the Bartlett Hawks and play with Mr. Flood for the first time. So I had to juggle that decision in the seventh grade. Like, do I go with these guys I've been playing with last year? But I kind of only got like 1 year to play with them, or play with guys like my age, say with Brother Hawks, play with Mr. Flood. So that's, and ever since then I've been playing with Mr. Flood. That's how, that's like the big Mr. Flood story. So I've known Mr. Flood since I was like fifth grade.
That's awesome to have somebody like that in your life who can kind of
100%.
Who can have mentors, you know, mentors are huge. So then back to what I was going to say, I'm curious, you said Lester Erb kind of for a while was like off the
disappeared.
Map. Yeah. Yeah.
Disappeared.
Time frame of high school did that happen? And did that start to weigh on you and kind of worry you about shit? Like, am I going to make this decision? And then he came out of nowhere, or?
Yeah, that was like probably toward the tail end of my junior year.
Okay.
And I already wasn't talking to schools because they were, you know, we'll wait to see you in your senior year. I kind of didn't really know. And then kind of lost contact with Iowa too, because, you know, Lester Erb was my, like, gauge of contact with Iowa. So I'm like it's super bad. Like, I'm not talking to Iowa. I'm not really talking to anybody. Like, Coach Erb was one of the people, like, one of the recruiters I was most in touch with and, like, had the best relationship with. And then out of nowhere, he popped back up at Nevada and then was saying, hey, I'm going to do my best to get you an offer in Nevada. And they did.
Damn. That's fucking awesome. So then you commit to Nevada where in the course of your senior year? Was it before you started your senior football season, or was it after?
I think I want to say it was like October. So it was like midway through.
Middle of the season. Okay.
Yeah, it was like mid toward tail end. Because I remember.
You must have been torching fools.
I was just force feeding my mixtape. 2-game mixtape, 3-game mixtape, 4-game mixtape. Like, come on, somebody, like anybody. Like, I swear, I remember I played the number one player in Illinois. My second game playing for South Clifton Garrett, number one. Kids going to LSU. I'm hearing Ole Miss is at the game, all these different college coaches are at the game. I'm like, oh, I gotta go crazy. So I literally had, I think I wanna say like 4 touchdowns. Like 200 some yards. I'm telling you, after the game, I'm like, I'm going SEC. Like, I'm going SEC. Like, I don't care what nobody's saying. Ole Miss gonna be on my phone on Monday. Like, I'm going SEC.
That's great.
Nothing happened after that game. I remember I force fed that game to everybody. But yeah, so I was force feeding my senior tape to everybody. By that time, everybody was locked up already. Right. Planning on the 2015 draft recruiting class.
So you tough. Yeah. So then you end up telling Coach Erb that you're going to come out to Nevada, take a chance, go, you know, travel to some state you don't know anything about, some college you don't know anything about.
Man,
and tell us about the years there, kind of how you developed as a young guy. What is it, the Wolfpack?
Yeah, the Wolfpack.
The Wolfpack.
We'll pump the life.
Yeah. What did you get out of that experience? You were there for 3 or 4 years.
He was the king of the pack.
I was there for 3 years. So it's another crazy story. So when I got to Nevada, my senior year of high school, I got a staph infection.
Okay.
And my foot, and I thought it was like no big deal because I was walking around with it. So I got a staph infection. I go to like this foot doctor, which is funny. It's Mr. Flood's brother. Go to this foot doctor, and he just like pops it, like it's like a pimple, pops it open, whatever. I go back the next day. I got prom that day, and then this is a Saturday, so I've been walking around in like a boot for this whole time. So then I get to prom. I get home. I'm locked out of my house for one. So I didn't even know I'm on painkillers. He put me on painkillers. I didn't even realize. So I'm sitting outside my house. And when I finally get there, I'm in this boot. I can't walk, like, at all, even on a boot. And I don't have crutches. It's prom. So I got a white suit. So I had to have one of my friends give me a pair of his crutches. I got his crutches at prom pictures. His crutches were dirty, and I'm in a white suit. So it was I had to sit the whole senior prom because I couldn't walk. Like, I literally sat in a table that whole day. And then, like, Mr. Flood, like, his brother's the foot doctor, like, hey, just come see me tomorrow on Sunday, and we'll just take a look at it. And mind you, like, Sunday, no doctor works on Sunday. His day off. So he just come in, like, you know, in, like, normal street clothes. My foot got worse. And She's like, yo, we got to get you to the hospital right now. Like, the staff, I think it got, it's getting to your blood.
Damn.
So I spent the next 6 days in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah, I didn't have to do no finals. They thought it was going to get, like, done with, like, antibiotics, but it wasn't. So I had to literally go into surgery. And he said, like, this is the most pus I've ever seen in someone ever. And, like, he knew I was an athlete. So he cut, like, my foot. Like, he didn't cut underneath. Because if he would have cut underneath, I probably wouldn't have ran the same or been able to really run how like, right. I could. So he kind of went, like an awkward way. That's why I got, like, this fat scar on my foot right now. But, and then that's in the summer, you know what I'm saying? So you got to report in, what, like, July?
Yeah.
So I'm telling, like, at Nevada, like, yeah, I'm going to be good by that time. I'm going to be straight. Like, I'm just in a boot. I get there, I'm in a boot and crutches. And mind you, I'm a freshman, so, like, I'm already nervous.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing all the other freshmen go through stuff. Like, I'm trying to close a wound. Like, I had to go to a wound specialist to get it closed. Like, I had to learn how to run again. I was running in pools. And then, so I really didn't get to do no summer anything until, like, training camp or whatever you want to call it. And then once I got that heel closed and learned how to run again, like, my calves still aren't the same size today because that time. But once I got, like, my cast off and the wound, like, taken care of, I hit the ground running. And I ended up playing my true freshman year. I didn't really know if I wanted to because all my homies was redshirting. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to redshirt too. Yeah, like, you know, yeah. I want to be, like, with my friends. But, like, now we're gonna play your true freshman year. That's when they had it, because they had two senior backs coming, but one of the kids that got hurt, so they moved him receiver. That's when I met Don, who's also my dog. But so my true freshman year, I did pretty solid, you know what I'm saying? I did pretty well. My role got bigger as it went, and then I really took off my sophomore year.
Okay.
I had like 1,300 yards, and then that's when, like, me and Don was going back and forth. That's really when I learned, like, the art of, like, teamwork, because he's another running back too. He's a senior. Because I was like, they could have easily went there and been like, yo, you're a freshman, you're not going to play. Like, you trash, mm-hmm. you suck. And I probably would have, at that time, I'm so far away from home, over. I'm calling my mom every day like, yo, I want to come home. Like, if she would have let me come home my freshman year, I would have dipped. I would have been on the first.
You know how many dudes have that same story, though? Like,
and don't want to talk about it. But nah, but like every single day my freshman year, I was like, yo, I'm how many miles away? Like, I am ready to come home. My, like, she just kept saying, no, stick it out. And I did. But like I said, if she would have let me come home, I would have been on the first flight out of Reno. But nah, I learned the art of teamwork from Don, because I kind of chipped at his carries a little bit more and more at the end of my freshman year. Then my second year, we kind of went series for series. But that's honestly the best football I've ever played, because I was playing loose. I was playing with another guy who was also a dog, but it was never like, I want to be better than you. It was like, okay, you go crazy, now I go crazy. Or he has a big game and I have a weak game. Like, it don't matter. Like, or it's like, we would go series for series. You know, some series it's like, it's three and out. Some series you go in the whole quarter. Like, you know, I remember one game, it was against UNLV. He had like crazy amount of carries, like 25 carries. I had like 7. And I remember that's when Coach Irv was a running back coach. And he was like, yo, like, what happened? Like, why wasn't you getting in the game? I'm like, I did. It's just, that's just how the game unfolded. You know what I'm saying? He had long drives. I had three and outs. And this is what it is. It wasn't like, I had a three and out. Let me go in the game. Because like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking, like, when I get in, I'm going to get mine. And when he get in, he's going to get his. And I'm going to just be the best, you know, teammate. I don't care if I'm a starter. Like, I know. Once I get in, well, I'm going to do the most with the opportunities I have. And then my junior year, that's what Don left. So it was kind of my time. And we had a pretty bad season, but I was still able to put up pretty decent numbers. I had 1,300 yards again. And I was solid. And it was a great time in Nevada. You know, I'm still top 10 up there in 3 years. So I'm like number 8 on the list right now. But it was definitely the best 3 years of my life. But I really learned a lot about myself out there. I really learned, you know, to really get out your comfort zone, because Nevada was definitely out of my comfort zone. I learned how to be a better teammate, because I had to, you know, kind of be selfish, not really think. I mean, honestly, I was never a guy that wanted to be like the, I need to be the starter, the guy, and you know, this is my team. I'm always like, yo, whatever I can do is, like, I'm going to just make the most of the opportunities I do get. I'm not going to try to, you know, bank off, like, hey, I need this many carries, I need that many carries. I just want to play in the game and make a difference, because I know I've always been a person that bets on myself. Like, I know, like, if they put me in the game, I can do it, I can make something with it, you know what I'm saying?
And that mindset really helped you out and kind of came in big time when you got to Iowa, because that's the Iowa way.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to go back, though. You only played 3 years. Was the goal the whole time to kind of find somewhere else to go? Like, how did you leaving and getting to Iowa happen? Because, like, most people don't plan to leave somewhere after balling out, you know?
Yeah, that was wild. So – I didn't plan on graduating in 3 years. I just kind of – I had always taken, like, an extra class in the summer because I'm like, whatever, summer class is not a big deal.
Right.
And then I kind of went stupid my senior year in that spring because the coaching staff got fired at Nevada my going into my senior year.
Okay.
And I kind of just wanted to be like, if I want to go somewhere – I wanted to have the opportunity to. If I want to stay, I can stay. But I also wanted to give myself that opportunity.
Right.
So after my junior year, the coaching staff had all got let go. And that's when I kind of, like, that spring, I took, like, 23 credits or something.
Holy shit, Jay. What is wrong with you?
I was going to say, so you had to have, like you said, in the summer you were getting those extra credits. You were already ahead of schedule. But then even to do it in 3 years with taking summer courses, you kind of have to really go after it for a semester.
Yeah, you got to get after it. So I took like 23 credits during spring ball.
That sounds absolutely horrible.
And, you know, spring ball, like that's your time to like really kick your feet up and chill. But I was really grinding. I had that. I was doing that. I was doing an internship because I needed that extra credit because I couldn't find another class. The schedule, so I had to find an internship. So it was, my junior year spring was wild. But that's really, I just wanted to, if I wanted to leave, I wanted to give myself that option. Because, like I said, like I was balling, but we kind of had, they were coming in with a new system, a new scheme. And it was cool. I liked it, but I was just always, in my mind, I've always wanted to play in the Power Five. Nothing against Nevada or non-Power Five schools, because I think a lot of you can see it now. A lot of those dudes are going crazy in the league. And but I've always had my mindset like I knew I could play at those levels. Like even when we would play those schools, like I knew I could play here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to give myself that option, and I don't really know how I would go through with it until like stuff was really coming to fruition, honestly.
And so then how does Iowa come back in the mix? Then did you contact them or?
Iowa came back in the mix because I always had my heart set on Iowa because Iowa was that college that I would go to the college games when I was in high school. Yep. And that was like my number one school. Like I wouldn't care if like Bama had offered me and Iowa had offered me. I would have went to Iowa instead of Bama. Yeah. Like that's how much I wanted to go to Iowa coming out of high school. So it was just that, and just to play running back at the University of Iowa, and just I remember that was the year y'all just had the best offensive line. Like I was doing my research, so you know what I'm saying. Like you know, Ack and Daniels just had 1,000 yards. So I'm like, wow, like so y'all was killing, y'all was going crazy. So I'm like, and it's close to home. I've always wanted to. My mom barely made it to really that. Like she didn't really make it to that many games in Nevada because they're so far away.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So that was always tough that I could never really play in front of my family. Like my sister had never made it to a game. My brother never made it to a game. And like, so a lot of my family members have never even made it to a game because they were all so far away. I would have to be able to like to find my mom out or something like that. But I know if I went to Iowa, I know like my whole family can go to games. You know what I'm saying? It's only 3 hours away. It's down the street. So when I actually decided to do it, I could have blown it up and like went like big time and been like, yo, like, went up to social media and be like, hey, I'm grad transferring and I really want to just open my, you know how kids do, like,
play it up because you were in the position to do that too.
He was on the Doak Walker list before.
Right.
I was in a position to do that, but I don't know. I didn't. So I really was only talking to like three schools when I could have been probably talking to a lot more, but like I was only talking to to Iowa, Louisville, and Indiana. I like IU, but because IU was
– Indiana girls were hot, bro.
IU was when they had just had Jordan Howard, and then I think they had another running back. Like, that's when, like, I don't know why, like, they had, like, over there, like,
they had been balling
there and flourished. Yeah, like, running backs went there for their senior year and just went crazy. So I'm like, IU was crazy. And then y'all, it's funny. I could have went to Louisville, but that was Lamar Jackson's senior year. And I'm like, do I want to go to Louisville and have with Lamar pull at the pot? Pull at the 5-yard line and take the touchdown when I could have had it. No, so I didn't do that because I knew he would pull it at the time.
Oh, so you're saying your senior year and Lamar's were the same year?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking he just left and you're gonna have to play.
No, it was his senior.
He was gonna have to take the fakes.
I think it might have been like his junior year or something like that. But it was when Lamar Jackson was balling at Louisville.
Dude, I'm glad you came to Iowa, but it would have been badass to play with Lamar Jackson. No,
it would have been dope to go to Louisville. Louisville would have been crazy. Louisville was messing with me tough. So that was cool. And then it was Iowa, and Iowa was always kind of been on top of my list. But like you said, like, y'all had already had Ack, who just went crazy off his junior year.
But we had just lost Big Boy. LeSean was leaving.
But you just lost LeSean. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. And then I remember it was literally a conversation I had with KF. Before, I was like, I think I'm gonna go out public and say like I am free to be recruited, and that's what KF is like. Hey, because I don't think Iowa like didn't want me to like put it out. So I'm like, so I kind of have to like, you know, play a little hardball. Like, yo, I'm gonna go out and say like.
And they didn't want you to put it out because they knew what they were getting.
Yeah, they were kind of like on the fence about it. So I was like, I'm gonna put it out and like, you know, I can put that I'm committed to Iowa, or I'm gonna put like I'm just committed to everybody, and then it's just gonna be up in there. And then Kev was like, oh, can I call you back? And so then he called me back. He's like, okay, we're good with you like putting it out that you're committed to Iowa. So that's when I came out and said like, yo, like, thank you, Nevada fans, for everything. I just wanna appreciate it. And side note, the fact that these college kids have it so easy to transfer.
It's unbelievable, dude.
I had to go through loops and whistles. I had to go talk to the head coach, talk to the director of compliance, talk to the AD. All these kids got to do, like, yo, I'm going to put my name in this system. I'm gone. Peace. Like, no conversations, no nothing. Like, I had to go through every hoop and whistle just to even put my name out there to different schools to know I was transferring. But, yeah,
it was wild. Listen, I got murdered by a because we had a kid come in on the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a fan of it. And
he wasn't a fan of the transfer portal?
Yeah, you know, I just
– I mean, I get what they're doing. It's cool, but it's just like they have it so easy. Like, I could only imagine if kids wanted to transfer back when we was in school, like, you had to go through every system, like coach, compliance, AD, like everybody, like step by step. And almost I damn near got blocked. So it was it's crazy. And I had graduated. Like, these kids aren't even graduating. Like, I had, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm literally done everything at Nevada. I had been a good dude, never got in trouble, graduated, so I'm not hurting your, what is that, APR or whatever. And you know what I'm saying? So I was really, that was crazy, but yeah. But nah, like I was saying. So then, I put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put it out to like everybody, like, thank you, Nevada fans. But I'm gonna take my stat last year of eligibility and I'm gonna go play with the Hawks. And like, that was a big day for me. I was a little on the fence because I was nervous because, you know, change is always nervous, but that's like, go back to Mr. Flood. Like, you know, Mr. Flood loves Iowa. That's when, you know, Justin was there too. He was already there. And I had a bunch of people from high school that, like, actually went to the school. So that was cool, too. So I, like, had, like, friends who were already there. But, yeah, I don't know. Iowa was always, like, as you can see, like, it kind of went 360. Like, I always wanted to go there. So it was my dream school. And, like, I felt like during that time, nothing was going to stop me. Like I said, I didn't really care how big the other schools were. Or I didn't really care because I could have blew it up and talked to every, you know, other Power 5 school in America. And then, not saying I would have had my pick, but I would have had more options. But
yeah,
I don't know. I was just so stuck with Iowa. I didn't really even give other schools a chance.
And, you know, we were pretty excited too.
Yeah, I remember when Brian told us he was coming in, I went on his Instagram. I had to check, like, who this kid is. I start seeing these highlight films. I'm like, yo, check this out. I'm showing everybody JB's highlights. Like, this dude doesn't get tackled.
I'm pretty sure you're the one who told me we were getting JB.
And probably.
At the house. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, you get transfers every year, a couple.
Yeah.
You never know how they're going to turn out. And and Drake was like, no, like, this kid's legit. Like, he's like a leading rusher in the nation, and we're getting him. And I was like, why the fuck is he coming to us? And but it was, you know, without knowing the whole backstory of, like, you know, eventually you wanting to be here. But we were super glad to have you. And then what were the initial thoughts when you came in that summer, met all the guys, and kind of got started in the black and gold?
It was dope, man. I was obviously a little nervous, but, like, I had to come in and I know, like, there was already guys on that roster who thought, like, since LeSean was gone, so it was, like, their time. And I know Ak, and I never want to step on anybody's feet. You know, Drake can attest to that. Like, I was never a big talker. I didn't say much. I just always just wanted to do my thing, and I always just wanted to earn it. I never needed no handouts. I didn't need no promises, and, you know, Iowa never makes you promises. Anyways, but, like, so you know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to go there stepping nobody's toes for sure, because I know how I felt would have been to act, because, like, I knew how I felt because I had the same situation happen to me my junior year. Nevada had brought in a big transfer from Penn State. I don't know if y'all know Makiel Lentz. He had came my junior year, and he was supposed to be, like, the big, you know, big name guy at a big school, and I was kind of like, yeah, like, that's dope, but, you know, just still.
Yeah,
I'm good too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, theory, so yeah, like, I, like, I'm still good too. Like, I mean, he went to Penn State. That's dope for him. But, like, I still can play too. So I knew. So, you know what I'm saying? That's just how it is as athletes. I know that's how, you know, athletes feel. But it was dope, man. It was definitely a culture shock. You know, it was different.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
You know, meeting Coach Doyle and actually seeing the ins and outs of what actually goes into it, how y'all actually practice, and, like, damn, their training camp was like a season. It felt like, you know what I'm saying? How
that shit is rough, right? We talk about how bad camp is all the time, but I'm glad that somebody from another program pops in and is like, yo, this shit is hard.
Yeah, bro, it's for sure different. So that was cool. And, like, your offense is a lot different than anything I'd ever played in. You know, I never played in a pro offense. That's a lot of winning into my decision making.
Listen, man, we hadn't either. That was a new offense for us, too, with Brian. Really? Our senior year, that was the very first year of Brian's offense.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't totally different, but there was definitely a bunch of new stuff.
There were a lot of nuances, yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
And meeting, like, KF and being around y'all, it was cool too. And just being close to home, it was so cool. Like, my mom could go to the training camp, the scrimmages and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like that. So it was dope. And I'm playing in the Big Ten, so, you know, I'm thinking – you know, I'm that dude now. Like, nobody can tell me nothing. I finally, you know, you know what I'm saying? I have accomplished my goal, and that was a big thing with me when I was making my decision in Nevada. I was like, I could stay, do my thing here, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, do my thing here, probably have a lot better, smoother, like, draft, like, process and all that, and pretty much be guaranteed that I'm going to be the dude here in Nevada. Or I can go to Iowa, which I really – they could not play me. I can go there and be trash and, you know, kind of ruin all the, like, the kind of the clout, you say, that I've made here in Nevada. and then just kind of be a bust, because that happens too. You know, guys go play the senior year, and not everybody's a Russell Wilson that goes crazy. Some dudes are just anybody and just kind of just kill themselves when they go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of kills their whole stock. So that was a big reason. I was just like, I could stay in Nevada, be comfortable, and do my thing here, obviously. But if I stay, I know, like, forever, I'm going to be like, yo, what if I went? Like, what if I went Big Ten? What if I went Power Five? Like, what if I went to Iowa like I wanted to, like, my whole life? Like,
for sure.
Ever since. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, I didn't want to be left with that, like, what if? You feel me? So, like, that's really what drove me. And then go back to Mr. Flood. You know, he's always in the back pulling the strings. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always like, bro, dude, like, I get it. But you're never going to, like, grow as a man, as a person, spiritually, like, if you don't get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just never want to be left with that what if. And that's why, that's another situation where I just kind of, like, bet on myself. And I dipped out to Iowa, which really was a free-for-all, because y'all literally had already had – I could have went to Indiana, who didn't even have – I don't think they had a running back on scholarship. Like, it was like that. Like, they needed a running back that bad. And then Miami was also looking for a running back, too. I was talking to Miami. But I ain't thinking – Miami wasn't my vibe. I couldn't – Miami dudes is different.
The culture,
the Florida dudes is different. I'm gonna stay up here in the Midwest where I'm comfortable, where you know what I'm saying, where I fit in.
For sure.
Yeah, Miami, they're different down there. But yeah, so it was just like take a chance and bet on myself, because like it was a lot of uncertainty at Iowa, because y'all
that's the walk-on mentality, dude.
Yeah,
for real,
100%. Y'all already have a bell cow running back. You know what I'm saying? Y'all already got 3-4 guys underneath this guy who aren't freshmen, who have been in the system, mm-hmm. who, you know, who these coaches have recruited, who they like, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So it was tough, especially me coming in as a new guy. And, you know, everybody probably thinking, like, oh, this guy probably thinks he's a man because he's running for all this many yards and college. He has these accolades, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I've always – my whole life, I had to prove myself. I never really I like the stats, the accolades have always been cool, but I never try to put too much weight in it, because I know every single time I'm always going to have to re-prove myself. No matter, I can be the best running back in the world, I feel like the same next year, I'm going to have to come back and prove myself, because no one's ever gave me that, like, title. They're like, hey, you the man, you good, you good to go. But I also don't want it, because I feel like once I start to feel like I'm the man, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, that's the second I'm going to get complacent. That's the second I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to work as hard in the offseason. That's the second, like, I'm going to start chilling at practice when I'm not, you know, treating practice like it's a game. You feel me? So,
yeah.
I've always bet on myself, and that was one of my hard decisions, too, to actually make a trip to Iowa where there was a bunch of uncertainty, a bunch of not knowing. When I could have stayed, like you said, a lot of dudes don't transfer their senior year after they just
mm-hmm.
ran for, you know, 2,000 or 1,000 yards for both 2 years. But I was just so focused on, I want to go Big Ten really bad. I've done everything I can in Nevada. I didn't burn any bridges. And, you know what I'm saying, I've always been a good dude. I graduated, and now I could go play Big Ten at my dream school that I've had since high school. So I never wanted to be left with that.
Yeah, and
we got some live experiences during that 1 year too.
I was gonna say, tell me about some of your favorite memories from that short amount of time you had in Iowa City.
Obviously I loved. It sucked while I was there, but I love Doyle's program. I think he does his thing.
Yeah,
he does his thing with the late program for sure. And then I will never be able to give it that Ohio State game. Like, that was crazy. I still feel like it was a movie, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. It felt like we just went to the game, and before we know it, it was like 55-7, like in the third quarter. And, like, you know, that was wild. And then what's even crazier is, boom, I get hurt for the first time ever in my career. Like, I had never been hurt in Nevada. And then so that was really another, like, kind of chink in, like, my armor, where it was like, I'd never been hurt, because I knew right when it happened. Like, I knew, like, because that's when ACAT went down for a little bit, so I was finally starting to get a little, you know, I was starting to feel myself a little bit in that North Texas game. And then I remember I went down awkwardly on my arm, and my elbow went behind me, and I knew it was done. I remember the trainer coming on the field. I'm like, I just broke my arm. I just broke my damn arm. I can't believe I just broke my arm. And they're like, James, we're going to put your arm back in place. I'm like, I don't care. I just broke my arm. I just broke my arm. It's like, all right, snap it in place. All right, James, we're going to sit you up. I'm like, yo, can I get off the field? Like, I don't want to sit here. Like, I'm not one of them dudes that's going to be sit here. Are you okay? We're going to get you up now. I'm like, nah, like, get me off the field and let's go figure this out if I was the field. Because I've never been one of the people that want to sit on the field.
And that shit is embarrassing,
be,
dude.
Yeah, and be coddled. Nah, like, if my legs ain't broke, I'm good. I can, you know what I'm saying? I could, this arm's back in place, I'm good. Let's go figure it out on the sideline. So then I found out I had fractured bone in my arm and dislocated my elbow. So that was going to be, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. So now, that's only, I think it was game three.
Yeah.
So now I'm already at a new place. I'm hurt, and I've never been hurt in my life. And then now I'm rehabbing, so I'm away from the team. So I barely really even kind of felt like I was on the team. So that was tough. Like, that was really – and it was my first time being hurt ever in my career. I had never experienced – missed. I never missed a game. I had to miss, like, 3 or 4 games. So it was crazy. That was really, like – that was – like, there was a lot of highs. There was a lot of lows. And that was definitely one of my, like, my biggest lows was actually getting hurt and having, like, missed a game and be away from the team. And I really felt – like a part of the team in a sense.
You finally come back from the injury towards the end of the season, yeah. Get a little bit of playing time, and we finally get you in the end zone, my man.
Again, yeah, I know. See,
against Nebraska, was, right?
Huh. And what was wild? They came to me because it was 3 games. I never redshirted, so I could have medical that mm-hmm. year and played the next year, but. I don't know. I just kind of got traumatized from when I had missed that year, my junior year.
Right.
And I was like, man, I don't want to – like, I've already sat and watched, like, these guys play, 4 or 5 games. And I don't know. I always felt, like, hella cool. Like, guys like Act, Drake, like, and, you know, James Daniels. And it's kind of like I like the senior class so much, man. Like, I kind of want to – I want to thug it out with these guys. Like, even though I'm playing with a damn knee brace. Oh,
terrible. But dude, you look so damn strong with that.
I look like a damn transformer with that thing on my arm. But so like, you know, running back playing with a knee brace was crazy in its own. But yeah, so I decided to thug it out, and I really only play like 5 games.
Momentary break in the action. We lost JB for a second. There we go. Hopefully he's all right. Be able to make it through here.
Ooh.
There you go. All
right.
You good? So anyway, you said you really only got to play in like 5 games total.
Yeah. So I honestly killed my stats, killed like my stock, but because that's when a lot of people look at my time at Iowa, like fans and stuff like that, they're always like they kind of just look just at the stats.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yo, like you went from Nevada playing. Had 2,000-yard season, went to Iowa, 300 yards, and a touchdown. So they kind of seemed like, yo, like, I think you should just stay in Nevada. And a lot of people don't know that I got hurt my junior year, missed half the year. But like I said, like, it wasn't really about the stats and something like that. It was more I really wanted to play at the highest level possible.
Yeah, it was the dream.
It was a dream of mine. And it's something that when I look back, obviously, it wasn't the year I wanted to have or plan to have, but I can look back and always be a Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
and always be a part of Wolfpack. Like, nobody's ever going to take that apart with me. And it's just, I can tell my kids now, like, yo, if you want to do something, like, build on yourself. Like, always, you know what I'm saying? Don't quit. And no one's going to believe in you more than you. And I've learned that through my whole career, that nobody is ever going to pat you on the back or be able to pick you up except for yourself. So always bet on yourself and never let anybody tell you you can't do something.
I love it.
That bit of wisdom is worth a lot to some of the listeners out there. Some of you guys who have young kids and they want to play football and their minds are spinning and they don't get it and this, that, and the other, man. JB just told you, you got to bet on yourself.
Got to bet on yourself.
Believe in yourself. Don't ever look or – or need someone else to put value on you. You know, have value in yourself, because if you allow other people to have value in you, and if I would have let people have value in me, they would have told me, stay at Bartlett. Don't transfer. You're going to kill your recruiting. Stay in Nevada. Be comfortable. You aren't going to make it at Iowa. Like, they're too – the competition's too big, too this and that. And just, like – but I've never let anybody put their value on me. I've always put value on myself. Like I said, like, I never been a guy that, like, I need to be the guy. I just – give me an opportunity, and I'm going to make the most out of that opportunity. That's all I need. I'm not asking for no handouts. All I need is an opportunity. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do with the opportunity, then it's on me. I'm going to fall short. But I know that as hard as I work and as much time and effort I put in, like, whatever I put in and whenever I'm working out in that off season is gonna come into fruition during that season. So
yep. So let's talk. Yeah, yeah. So then let's talk about the most recent stuff that happened. You know, we graduate, we do the whole pro day, and then talk about what your NFL experience has been like, and then most recently, you know, how you got involved in Houston with the XFL, and then what's next.
Yeah, so I go through the whole process, and I remember in the whole draft, I was at Mr. Flood's house. It's funny, always reports back to Mr. Flood.
That's great.
But so I was at his house. I didn't get drafted. I didn't even get a PFA. I got a tryout, two tryouts. I remember bawling my eyes out to my mom. So it was crazy. So I got a tryout to the Jets. A tryout to the Redskins, but I seen that me and my agent were talking, and the Jets had just drafted a running back and then signed another PFA. So it was like, I shouldn't go there. Like, that's kind of me just walking into a hornet's nest. So then, like, the Raiders, like, we'll take them. Not like we want them. They're just like, we'll take them. Like, you know what I'm saying? We could use an extra running back body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that was that process. So, you know, a lot of guys get PFAs and get paid a PFA. I got a tryout, like, hey, mm-hmm. come here. We'll have a jersey and a sticker next to your name with your name written in Sharpie. Like that's what I got. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I went to the Raiders. That was my first week. I did my thing. I'm thinking, like, yo, they going to sign me. Like, I'm balling out. And I'm just hearing Gruden. Who's that Hawkeye? Like, he didn't even know my name. Like, who's that Hawkeye? That's all he called me was a Hawkeye.
That's great.
Yeah, I took it. You know what I'm saying? I took it. You feel me?
Whatever you can do to get your foot in the door.
But, yeah, whatever. So I'm thinking they're going to sign me for sure. So it was me and it was another kid that was there named Chris Warren. And I don't know if y'all know about Chris, but he went crazy too. He's like a big guy from Texas. He was like a bigger back. He was like 6'2", like 250, like different. Like, yeah, big dude. So they end up signing Chris, not me, sent me home. So I'm like, oh, annoying, whatever. So next week I get to the Redskins. I'm already kind of like upset about the Raiders tryout. And the Redskins, I just got lost in the wash. I remember I'm always like a guy that wants to volunteer and stuff like that. So I'm thinking like, hey, anybody want to go help with the scout team, like defense? I'm like, all right, I'll step up. So then I end up doing that with the Redskins. I end up like, running, playing like scout linebacker for the offense, like when the offense is learning to play. So I'm over here, a scout linebacker, not even really learning the running back plays. Kind of just got lost in the wash. And that's when they had just got from LSU. And then they had signed another kid, PFA. So it was kind of like, it would have been like a Jets situation. Kind of went home after that. And now I was like, what now? Like, I just spent, you know what I'm saying, the last 4 months training for a day, my pro day, and then the whole pre-draft trying to figure out what team I'm going to be on and planning for that. Now I'm at the crib, really just chilling. So now it's just, I'm sitting at the crib, and then out of nowhere I get a call from the Raiders, like their second, third day of training camp, like, hey, we just had a running back come down, like, come to training camp. So go to Raiders training camp. Kind of also just get lost in the wash because I knew I was like the fifth guy on the depth chart. And like I said, like I was never like a step on your toes kind of guy. But I realized you had to, like, you can't really go into that mindset into the NFL. So I was just kind of lost in the watch. When they had Marshawn Lynch, they had Doug Martin, and they had two guys who'd been there for the last 3 years. And then they also had Chris.
Damn.
So, yeah, so I, the only reason I got in there because I think Marshawn was hurt, and then the two guys who was there for the last 3 years had, like, rolled their ankles. And then so they only had, like, three running backs. So that's when and then what's crazy is, like, a week later, all those running backs end up coming back, but they end up still, like, keeping me there for training camp. So that was cool. So did my thing during training camp. Really didn't play at all during training camp. Like, that's when, like, Chris had went crazy in the training camp. He had, like, led the league in rushing yards. So I remember one game in preseason, he ran every single carry. I didn't get one carry. So that rookie year, like, was crazy. So I already knew what the time was when it was all said and done that I was gonna, like, go. I was like, dang, like, I didn't really get a chance to really show myself. I had, like, maybe one or two good runs, but I knew that wasn't enough. So that was tough. So now I'm at home again, just like, what's next? And I don't, you know what I'm saying? I play football. Like, that's what I do. I have the question, like, what I want to do after. I never really thought about it because I'm always like, yo, like, I want to play. Like,
right.
So what else I really want to do? So I'm, like, kind of chilling at home. I'm doing little jobs. Like, I'm working at FedEx, which is terrible. I would advise any able-bodied, like, athlete not to work at FedEx because it just blows your back out. Like, I remember I was getting yelled at by my boss at, like, 5 a.m. that I wasn't moving boxes out of the truck fast enough. Damn. That was my last day. I was like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do this to myself. I'm already hurting, back hurting, picking up these boxes all awkwardly. Now I'm getting yelled at 4 in the morning that I'm not moving boxes fast enough. So I'm like, yeah, I gotta figure something else out. So I started doing, like, PT, which is cool. And then the Raiders called me back out of nowhere. Like, week 7, like, hey, we're gonna bring you in and have you work out to try for our practice squad. Because I guess Marshawn was going on IR because he had hurt his groin that year.
Yep.
So I'm like, cool. So I get there, work out, do my thing. And then they signed me to their practice squad. And then that's why I spent my year on practice squad. And I don't really know what really practice squad consists of because I've seen so many guys, like, come and go from the practice squad. But I was able to consistently stay from, like, week 9, so, like, the end of the season.
Nice.
Sign a futures deal. Cool. So I'm like, bet. You know what I'm saying? I'm on a team, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Post on my chest, flexing. Like, I can tell people, like, when I go out, like, hey, what do you do? I'm on the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So that's cool. You feel me? I got a job. You know what I'm saying? So, and then the draft comes. And then the draft comes. They take Josh Jacobs first round. And I'm like, oh, here we go. and they had already signed Isaiah Crowell. So take Josh first round. And they already signed Crow, like, you know, like when, like, that free agent time was. So I come in Monday. I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. I mean, that's how I spent, like, my whole rookie year, too,
right.
Like, looking over my shoulder every day. Like, I remember I was so happy because I was like, yo, if I'm on a team on Tuesday – at 1 o'clock, they're gonna have to pay me that week. So every Tuesday, I would literally be watching my phone, like,
damn,
1 o'clock, all right, I got paid. That's crazy. Wednesday, I'll go buy me a nice meal because I could afford it. You feel me?
I love it.
And then Friday was payday. So I remember every Tuesday, I was like, Tuesday's your day off. I was just looking at my phone, hoping it didn't ring, trying to do stuff. So 1 o'clock. So then, and then Monday comes and nobody tapped me on the shoulder. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of breathing a little easier. I made it. You know what I'm saying? And Tuesday comes, again, I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. And then I get that knock on my shoulder, like, hey, Jason, I want to talk to you upstairs. And I already knew what time it was. So I got let go. And then So then I don't really know what to do. So now I'm like, you know what? CFL teams have kind of been calling me, so let me give CFL a go.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up to Saskatchewan for their preseason, and then I did okay, but it really wasn't really my game or just during that time, it really wasn't my game.
Right.
So I got let go again. So then, mind you, I'm like, yo, I just got let go from the Raiders.
How bad does
I just got let go from Canada. I definitely got to figure something else out. Like, this, maybe it's like football is not for me, bro. Like, maybe because that was one of my lowest moments. You being cut from Saskatchewan, and I just got let go from the Raiders, and it was just like damn, like I gotta figure something else out. Like, this ain't it. So I'm back at home. I'm probably getting these days wrong. So I'm back at home. Probably like a couple months later or a couple weeks later, the Raiders called me. They're like, hey, we're going to sign you. Like, are you in shape? I'm like, yeah. We're going to sign you for training camp.
Damn.
I'm like, or they're like a bad ex-girlfriend that just can't make up her mind.
Yeah. So, like, I'm going to sign you for training camp. So that's like for that year, I'm in a whole new mentality because it's my second year. I kind of know what it entails. So now I'm like, my rookie year, like not trying to get cut. Just don't get cut. Just don't get cut. Just don't get cut. And I'm worried about that every single day, not to get cut. So then my second year, I'm kind of like, yo, what's the worst they can do? Cut me? Like,
yeah,
I've been cut twice now by this team. Like, I've been cut by the CFL. Like, I'm not worried about none of that. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do my thing. And whatever happens, happens. The worst they can get is cut me. Like, bro, you've dealt with that already. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I did my thing that year in the preseason. I kind of had a bigger role. And I'm like, you know what? I think, you know, I might make practice squad, but I'm still like, I need them here. So boom, the time comes. I'm like, hey, we like you a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's obviously there's a reason we keep bringing you back here, you know, but we're just gonna we're gonna let you go. And, you know, you never know what happens in these next couple of weeks. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. So they let me go. And another low. They let me go. I'm on Instagram. The Raiders have signed blah, 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 running back from the Texans to their practice squad. So literally, I had just been like the dude the whole preseason and then found out through Instagram the Raiders to sign another kid to their practice squad. So
it's a business, low, man. Like, crazy.
Yeah, it's a business. So another just low. So I'm just like, I'm mad. I'm upset. I'm just like, damn, bro. So I'm going home. I'm working out as hard as ever because I'm thinking, like, I just had a good preseason. Like, somebody's going to show me some type of love. So I'm working out as hard as I ever have. Nothing for month and a half. So, again, I'm left with, like, yo, like, what am I going to do now? Like, Jay, like, you got to figure this out. Figure something out. So, again, I'm trying different jobs, trying different things. I remember it was, like, my first real job interview that I had. And it was like I had to go to like three interviews. I'm killing the interviews. I don't even remember what the job was for. It was like one of them like jobs where they only paid you commission. Like that's only how you got paid. And I was just like, and I'm thinking like, okay, this is what I'm about to do, whatever. So the Raiders call me again.
Jesus.
And this time I'm like, why? For what? Like they already got. I'm like, why? Like, yo, y'all got three running backs. Josh is going crazy. Like, y'all already have running back on practice squad. Like, what is, like, why? And then, you know, but when the league calls, you answer. So, oh, yeah.
You don't.
Yeah. When anybody calls, you answer. So I get there. They're like, yo, are you in shape? I'm like, yeah. Like, all right, we're going to fly you out tomorrow. And it's always, we're going to fly you out tomorrow for a tryout. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, so I get there. And it's a really chill tryout. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like me and the running back coach. No other running backs are there. It's like throwing the ball back and forth. I'm talking to Mayock for the first time. Because like, Mayock wasn't there my first year. And Mayock's like, we love Iowa guys. Like, we always know when guys come from Iowa, they're ready. And that's all, like, that's really been a big part of my professional career is me having that Iowa, like, on
the Iowa
that
connection.
Iowa, that Iowa connection on. You know, on my chest, because then, you know, everybody's always like, wow, like, how was the plan at Iowa? Or we love Iowa guys, or like, Iowa guys are always ready for the league. And Gruden loved Iowa guys, too. I remember Coach Gruden didn't even know my name half the time. Like, he called me, like, PJ or Paul, because we had another dude named Paul Butler, so he called me Paul sometimes. Like, it was bad, but he knew me as an Iowa guy, and he loved that about, you know, just loved Iowa guys, and you really see that when you get to the league, how those higher ups and those coaches really like that. Like, coming from Iowa holds weight, like, and you know what I'm saying, it holds 100%. A lot of weight. And I was only there for a year, so. And I was talking to Mayock about Iowa, how much he loves Iowa guys, and how green about Iowa. So it was cool. And then they ended up signing me for their practice squad from, like, almost like week 5 to the end of the season. And again, like, I witnessed guys come and go for the practice squad. But my second year, I was already like, yo, the worst they can do is cut me. Like, I don't care if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like,
right.
I'm going to just treat every practice like it's a game. And then, you know, some weeks where I would literally travel with the team because I was doing my thing in practice, and guys would go down, but like I just never got into the game, which sucks. But the fact that they were able to keep me for so long, because I think I've been cut by the Raiders by this time like the three or four times already, so I wasn't really worried about being cut or anything like that. I was just happy to have a job and to be in the league. You know what I'm saying? As long as your foot is in the door, like, you know what I'm saying, you're doing something right. Like, it don't matter what sense of the league you're in. Practice squad, last on the depth chart, whatever it is. Like, you are in somebody's building every day. You have an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? That holds weight. So then we get to the end of the year again. This is most recently. They're like, this time, I'm cool with, like, a lot of the higher-ups. And they came up to me and was like, yo, we're not going to sign you a futures deal. You know, we kind of want to go with a bigger back. And we don't really know what's going to happen with our two backs we already have that have been there for the next 4 years. Because I was kind of – like the two backs they already have, it's kind of like a mixture of both.
Yeah.
But they had been in the league for the last 4 years, so, you know, they're going to go experience of everything. So they're like, we're not going to sign you, you know what I'm saying? But obviously, you know, keep your phone on. You know, we like you. You know, you could always end up back here. I remember I literally got a key fob from Oakland, and they were like, you know what, just keep it. Like, you honestly will probably be back. You know, we've done it so many times where we kept the key fob and took the key fob, just keep it, you know what I'm saying? And so, whatever. So they didn't sign me back. So now I'm kind of like, this is most recently. This is after last year. So I'm like, like, what now? And now I'm thinking of, like, okay, no really teams are calling me to sign me for a future because it's the end of the year.
So Vince McMahon saves the day.
And then I'm like, you know, I'm going to go XFL, whatever. Like, I wasn't really trying to because I had just finished a whole season of a practice squad. Like, my body was not – like, I didn't play a season, but, like, I had just been, like, practicing and all that for the last 2 months. So I'm tired, but now I got to go play a whole nother season and a month and a half, you feel me? So I'm like, tough. But the Packers called me. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I had to work out with the Packers, did my thing. But they didn't sign me either. So then I'm like, all right. And then I'm literally at the airport leaving Green Bay, coming back to Chicago. And Houston's like, yo, we want to fly Butler out tonight out of Green Bay. I'm like, wait, y'all gotta chill. Like, I just did this workout like 2 minutes ago. I'm not even at my house yet. I've been home for 10 days because I just got back from the Raiders and then had my workout with the Packers. Like, 10 days later, and then they talking about flying me out for Houston for training camp. So I'm like, nah, bro, like, I need a day, at least a day. They're like, okay, we'll fly out next morning. So I come back home from Green Bay, back to Chicago, pack my stuff, then I head to Houston for their training camp. And then,
Didn't look back from there.
So these last two and a half years have been
Peaks up and down. That's crazy. Yeah, that is crazy.
Peaks and valleys. I know.
What's been the most fun stop?
Most fun stop. Oakland and Houston, by far. I realize I'm like damn near not even a Midwestern anymore. Like, I be feeling this cold. Like, this cold hit me different now. Like,
that's how, like, I feel too.
It's not a big. I used to be like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's just like, cause when I got to Oakland or Houston, like, I would be there in the winter months, and they would be like, oh, my God, it's freezing. It's 40 degrees outside. This is terrible. Like, they in, like, winter coats, and it's like 40. I'm like, bro, if y'all don't relax, like, I have felt negative 40 windshield. Like, I don't want to hear about 40 degrees being cold. So, definitely Oakland and Houston. for sure. But I've been to some really cool spots. I mean, even playing the CFL for that little small stint was really cool. You know what I'm saying? But
the obviously with this whole Corona shit,
Corona.
You know, it's taken a toll on a lot of things, the XFL included.
That's a real shame, dude. That hurts bad.
Yeah, it just came out that the XFL has laid off basically everybody. And what's that like? What was told to you? And what's it, you know, try and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but
yeah.
What's on the horizon for you?
So with that, like I had no idea. Cause like Drake will tell you, like, I really don't be on social media like that. Like, I hate social media always. Like,
yeah, I can't get this guy to ever hit me back.
So I don't really like social media, so I don't really be on it. And then I found someone whose house I work out at now with a couple dudes who was like actually in it. So we kind of when we were in Houston, we kind of like it was kind of becoming a bigger deal because we had heard like one of the staff members at Seattle, we were playing Seattle that week, they had Corona, but I heard like the staff member like came, felt sick and then left. So we didn't think it was a big deal. So we had played that game, that last game in Seattle. And then it's getting to like, it's like Thursday going into the next week. And they're like, all right, we're just going to play the games with no fans. Like, it's just going to be just two teams. And we're just like, all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then we realized that like they can't. Then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, we get like a text that was saying like, yo, like just beware that the season, like, because that's when like the NBA had just stopped.
Yep.
And the MLB hadn't stopped yet, so they were still kind of pushing it off. But side note, what's crazy is that Seattle game, they sent out a memo. They're like, yo, avoid fan interaction. Don't sign autographs. Don't give fans high fives. What do? Jump in the stands.
Jump in the stands.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, obviously, I didn't really take it seriously as I should have because it wasn't really, like, crazy big like that yet. But then, side note, we actually found out that, like, one of our teammates was feeling really sick after that game. And it was a guy that I drove to one of our workouts. And we had found out, like, after the fact, like, a couple of days later that one of the players on Seattle had Corona, like, had the coronavirus, a D-end.
Damn.
Yeah, had the virus. So that was wild. And then I think that was the tackle who was blocking him. And he was driving in my car. So I'm like, yo, man. Do I got the Rona? Like, and I'm like, do I got it? Like, I'm checking my temperature. I'm sneezing more than usual. I'm like, I don't know if these are allergies or the flu. I got to figure this out. But yeah, so it's crazy. But then we found out that the league was going to fold. And we all they were sending us all home. But the sense was, like, at first it was like, okay, they're really going to fold for these until this blows over. And then we're going to try to come back late April and play, like, the playoff games, like the last, you know, two playoff games and a championship game. So it was, like, kind of, like, it was kind of one of those. But so it was, like, obviously it sucks, but, like, you know, this is really serious. So, but we're going to be back anyways. And then, you know, obviously a couple weeks later, they had to do it, like, the indefinitely because, as you see, like, it just keeps pushing everything back further. So that was wild, but yeah, Corona really affected the league, and we were on the road, man. 5-0,
yeah,
like 5-0, like felt like we couldn't be stopped. You know what I'm saying? And we was really wanted to do something special that year, and I hated it because I had to leave Houston. I love Houston so much. Honestly, think like I'm gonna move there one day, like because I always wanted to get back to Texas. I always thought like, yo, I want to move to Texas because I know how like cheap it is to live. And now I finally had the opportunity to stay there, and honestly, I fell in love with the city.
Well, hopefully you get to go back to Texas sometime.
Man.
Drake and I and Kevin, I know Kevin wasn't able to be here tonight because he's got a real job, but we all loved watching.
Must be nice to have a job right now, honestly, because I'm jobless too.
Yeah, it must
well,
be
nice. Well, for Kevin, though, because Kevin has to go in and out of hospitals, so he's for sure the Corona kid.
Yeah.
Man, I hope he's wearing a mask and hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
I bought some knockoff hand sanitizer from the gas station. It's literally like rubbing alcohol and like gel. It's crazy. It's terrible. I don't even know if it's real hand sanitizer.
But yeah, that's wild. But we hope that you get a chance. I don't know what's next for you. Your story is nuts. Yeah.
It's one of the most nuts, dude. That's one of the most roller coaster stories.
It's up and down.
Yeah, bro. I really don't talk about it a lot. I'm glad. I'm sorry I kind of ramble.
No, you're good. You're good. I think the fans will love hearing it. Love hearing the full story. And the Wash Up Walk-Ons, and I know Iowa fans as a whole wish you the best moving forward.
Thank you.
There's more ups in your future.
Need way more Houston hops.
Yeah.
I know. I need way more Houston hops. Sure, we need to bring that back.
Anything else you want to say before we call it a night, JB?
I mean, I just want to say thank you to Iowa fans and that I appreciate y'all. Even though I was really only there for really months, not years, the support I get from Iowa fans till this day, even though I'm two years removed from the program, I was only able to play a couple games, but how they are able to still rep me, still support me, and no matter like what I'm doing and still show love, I just think that's so dope. And obviously, I just want to thank Iowa for the opportunity to live out my dream, man. Just shout out those fans, because those are one of the best fan bases I've ever been across.
Man. Yes, sir.
Tell them all the time.
Best in the country. You heard it, Hawk fans. That's James Butler, one of our good friends and teammates from a couple years ago, episode 108 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Continue to follow along with us. Hopefully, as this Corona stuff starts to clear, in another month or so, we'll have that summer merch line dropping. We're going to have tank tops, some summer shit on the line. For Drake and JB, that's it. Hawks by a million. We're out.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.